Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Podcast on Technology. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney, and today we have a guest host.
My name's Shay.
And today we're going to be talking about Apple's WWDC announcement about iOS 10. We're going to be talking about robots and a wallet that charges your cell phone, of all things. And WWDC, that's Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, happened over the weekend, and today they bring out a little bit more news from it in the media, and Apple's confirmed that it's giving the power to drop native apps from your phone. It doesn't actually mean you can delete them, but it means you can apparently delete them off the home screen, but they're still there taking up lots of memory, of all things.
So it doesn't actually get rid of anything?
No, it's pretty much like the hide feature in Windows.
So it's still there taking up all of our space.
So all those apps you don't use, like the GarageBand, that nobody I know has actually used it except maybe a couple of musicians, it's always going to be there.
It's a pretty fun app.
It's great for kids.
Yeah.
I've seen friends' kids of mine just, you know, bashing on their cell phone, which then I'm thinking, I hope you've got AppleCare.
And you can use, like, loops and stuff like that. Like, if you actually know what you're doing, the GarageBand app can be actually kind of fun. But
I am so not a musician. I'm the guy who's always a measure off on everything.
Oh, I gotcha.
I'm horrible. Let's see. Apple support also gives a couple of rundowns and complications when you remove certain programs. The biggest one they talked about, say if you have an Apple Watch and it's synced to your watch and you delete it, it'll actually delete the pairing and other things, which makes sense because you're basically turning off the app from the phone. The other interesting thing is what they're doing is they're making the clock app dark. So if you use it as your alarm clock, or if it's the only clock you have near your bedside, so instead of waking you up and being pretty much like, you know, the hand of God being in your face at 4 in the morning, they're going to be turning it dark.
That's kind of nice.
That's the one thing I'm like, finally. They also talk about this thing about adding widgets, which is they're getting widgets out of that drop-down menu, which to me makes widgets extremely unuseful because I have a couple on there, but I never use them. Like Android does it perfectly. It's actually on the home screen. You need to swipe right, swipe left.
Yeah, you can just pull up your widgets right from the bottom. It's not on the screen. You can put them on the screen if you want to.
See, I like that. I mean, the negative side is it's affecting your battery life and it's also using, you know, your data depending on which one it has.
Yeah, that's true. It depends on your provider.
But I seriously, once I was really excited originally when they brought widgets to the screen, but it's just annoying on iOS, like now the iOS 9. I've got quote of the day or something on my swipe down, and I always forget I have it because how often do you swipe down on an iPhone? I swipe up more than anything. Mm-hmm. If anybody doesn't know, when you swipe down, it gives you notifications, it gives you a few other things. Swipe up gives you the ability to turn off the Bluetooth, Wi-Fi. Pretty much Apple decided to be different than Android and set up everything up on the swipe down menu.
Well, the swipe down is great on Android. Like I do that more than I do anything on my phone.
The best thing is the shortcut to settings.
Yes, yes. Well, and it depends on the phone too, because my LG... getting to settings is a burden. You have to dig through files or go and do it in Google Play because there isn't just a plain settings button.
I've helped set up for a couple of people those pay-as-you-go phones, and depending on which model of version of the phone, it's the same way. It's like you have to go to settings, applications, go to another folder, you know, and said okay, swipe down, hit a few other buttons. It's a faster shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
One of the features that I'm excited about is the transcribe your voicemail. Now, that's nothing new. There's been a bunch of different things that have done it throughout the years. One of the major ones is Google Voice. I have a couple of Google Voice ones, one that's no longer active. But the coolest thing is, say what it is, say your mom's calling you and say, hey, pick up milk, and you're in a business meeting or something. it'll send you a message and says, your mom said, pick up ilk. The only reason I say that is because sometimes it won't transcribe it right, so you're kind of guessing, but it gives you enough information so you can get it correct, as long as you know what ilk is.
Right. Google's always, like, trying to get me to try that on my LG. That's always something that's there in my voicemail. It's like, hey, you should try voice transcribe, and I'm like,
I like voice transcribe. I'm a big fan of anything that's, you know, convenient. I love the ability just to look at my phone instead of having to click on voicemails. Now, sometimes, depending what it is, the inflection of the voice is the most important.
Right. I just don't have anybody, like, important enough to be calling me for me to need that sort of thing. I'm not in business meetings or anything like that, so.
For me, it's just out of sheer laziness, like, to pick up the phone, unlock it, listen to the voicemail. I'd rather just look at it. For me, it's just easier because I don't – honestly, if I could get a phone without the calling plan, that would totally be what I would get.
That's interesting. I'm sure a lot of people are like that right now. Nobody makes phone calls anymore.
I hate talking on the phone. Matter of fact, I've got a particular particular club that or group I pay money to or yearly to support, and I'm getting voicemails and stuff by them like almost daily sometimes. So if I could just get that transcribed instead of talking to somebody, it'd make my life so much easier. Let's see. iMessage overhaul. If you guys don't know what iMessage is, pretty much what it is, it's the iPhone to iPhone communication system. So instead of using SMS, it actually uses your data. The benefit about that, at least according to Apple, is it's more secure. And on the geeky side of security, it's encrypted. You know, you may or may not matter. It matter to you, but it's something that at least it's interesting.
Well, and you can also access it from your home computer. If you have an iMac, you can use iChat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing I forgot. So basically what he's saying, if you have a Mac and your friend has an iPhone, you can actually text him via your friend's on his iMac desktop and you're on your cell phone. That's the one best thing about that. Apple plays very well with itself, doesn't play well with others, though, when it comes to technology-wise.
Very true. I kind of wish that Android had similar things to that because I don't really like texting on my phone. My thumbs are too fat for any of the buttons. So I actually prefer, if I can, I'll use Facebook Messenger to message people. But if they had something like that for Android where it just send it straight to their phone or straight to their text messages, that'd be awesome.
I am waiting for at some point for Apple to release a non-Apple version of iMessage. I mean, I see there's definitely going to be some have to meet the requirements. And an API basically is a way for thing that you have to meet the requirements. And an API basically is a way for third parties to access your technology. I've got the exact name, but it's pretty much like a key. So pretty much what it is your key allows them to open up your door so they can get access to it. I guess the rough way to say it.
Interesting.
So basically what they're saying, they're going to make it mainly more cosmetic. So according to I'm going to read directly from my notes here. It says personal expressive options like balloon animals, handwritten notes, loads of new emojis, GIF libraries, invisible ink, and a bunch of stuff. None of this stuff really affects me. I mean, I actually do use emojis, but I'm pretty sure this might be for somebody who's a little bit younger than me or more into some of this. I mean, what do you think?
Oh, for emojis and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, handwritten notes, balloon animals. I mean, I use it a little bit in stuff, but it's never something that I use personally a whole lot of.
Maybe not like balloon animals or emojis. I kind of don't do that unless I'm flirting. But as for handwritten notes and stuff like that, that might be useful just because I always have at least a notepad app on my phone for writing down things down, or if I'm thinking about something that I might want to use for something later, I might write down a couple of my ideas or something like that just because I forget things easy and it's easier to carry a phone than it is to carry a notepad.
Oh, no, there's stuff. If I ever get my phone stolen or I lose it, I'm in trouble. Half my memory is on this thing.
Oh, geez.
I write down everything. It's ridiculous at this point. And it looks like Apple's also going to be adding more to its photo app. Pretty much it does what they do now, allows you to edit levels, do some filter-ish things, some cropping, standard photo stuff. It looks like what it'll let you do, or it does automatically, is make slideshows, collages. Now, there's a bunch of apps that do similar things, so I'm not quite sure how well some of the app makers are going to like this or how well they're going to do. At some point, we'll talk about some of the photo apps I use. Let's see, another one. So I'm kind of reading through my notes here because there's so much here. And one of the major things for somebody like me who are directionally impaired, is with iOS 10, Apple Maps is getting even closer to becoming a credible Google Maps alternative, aside from a tweaked UI, basically larger buttons, different typefaces. You can schedule calendars, do multiple road, multiple stops. Apple Maps, when it first came out, was known for being bad.
Oh, yeah.
There was a story in Australia that it was actually taking people in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, I heard a lot of stories where it would be like, turn right, and there'd be no right to turn. Like, it'd be like you'd have to drive off of a guardrail in order to go where it wanted you to go. I know, like, to this day, there are still a lot of people who do not trust Apple Maps, and most of my Apple friends, what they use is they use Waze or anything rather than Apple Maps.
I'm still a big fan of Google Maps. No, I'm not really an Apple fanboy or a Google fanboy, but Google Maps is the best, in my opinion. According to this, though, it's going to be a little bit more parity with having gas station locations, restaurants.
Okay.
I still don't trust them. I'm sorry.
I don't trust it either, but I don't really trust Apple, to be honest.
I think it's kind of, you're accepting its flaws. I mean, Google Maps definitely has flaws. Now,
oh, yeah.
Back when I was, 15 years ago or whatever, when I was high school, it was a long time ago for me. I was one of the first people, I had one of the Garmin GPSs built into my vehicle. And it actually told me to turn left off of a bridge.
That's fun.
And it was one of those, the voices was mechanical enough that it sounded like it was trying to kill you. You know, like the Hell 9000, you know, hello, Dave.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, I'm sorry, what did I do to you? Now, the biggest thing when it comes to taking pictures, and I know I'm jumping around here a lot, is Apple is touting, they're going to let people shoot in RAW. And pretty much RAW is it's basically, was it unfiltered? I don't know exactly. What would you say?
So with RAW, it's the most information you can possibly get out of a photo without it being like shot on film.
But it's also basically it's not compressed. It's not like a JPEG format or a GIF format. Mm-hmm. It's what you see is what you get.
It's like what you said. Like it's raw information, and so that means that if you overexpose or underexpose, you can actually bring it into Photoshop and like change the exposure to where it's close to right. I mean, you should shoot it right the first time, but it gives you a lot more control over the photo. So like if you're into that sort of thing and into really, really tampering with photos, raw is what you want to shoot on.
So it lets you correct it, and it's a little bit more forgiving than, say, a standard image the camera
takes.
Yeah,
if you were to try to do that sort of thing with a JPEG, you're out of luck. But with RAW, you can work with it in ways that your standard image you couldn't.
Now, we're going to go to a break. Now, after the break, we're going to be talking a little bit more about this because there's a little more few things we think you should know. And we're also going to be talking about robots in hospitals and, well, you'll see.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
So we're going to finish up what we talked about from the iOS, and we're going to jump to something that I think is neat, but well, you'll see. Now, to finish up the conversation about RAW image files, it's only going to work with a rear camera. Not particularly surprised, since most cameras, the front-facing camera, aka the selfie camera, is never great. It's generally, honestly, it's cheap. It's bad image quality.
It's usually grainy. Looks pretty bad.
Let's see. Now, the one question that we all kind of have to say, and Apple hasn't said, is how they're going to exactly support it. Or is it going to be a compressed RAW? Is it going to be the full RAW image files? Because honestly, they're huge files. They're not small. And the major problem is Apple doesn't let you have – there's no way to expand your memory on Apple.
Yeah. So basically, with an Apple phone, you can't put in an external SD card. Like with Android phones, if you want a 32-gigabyte micro SD card, you could put that in there. But with Apple, you're much more limited on space.
Steve Jobs was famous for not liking holes on his phones. One of the reasons that the iPhone actually used proprietary screws. So if you want to fix the screen, you actually have to destroy the screws, get new screws in. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that they can tell you've messed with your inside of your phone. Just a little bit of tidbit of information for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the most interesting things, I think, coming to a hospital near you, at least if you live in Belgium, is Pepper Robot starts working in Bulgarian hospitals. Now, what it is, it's going to be two hospitals in Belgium will start on Tuesday using SoftBank Pepper Robots to help visitors when they arrive in reception. Now, what it sounds like it does is, you know, when you go in there and say, hi, my name's Bob, I'm not feeling good, it sounds like it's going to be doing basic triage. I'm not quite sure how it goes from there. I mean, is there like a bunch of keywords? You know, say if you have a really bad cough and something else, is it going to make you go ahead of the line? I don't know how it's going to work in the real world.
So basically it's like a receptionist?
That was what the article stated. And you can also catch everything we've said and we've talked about in the show notes.
I've got like two trains of thought on this. Like the little kid in me, the one that, you know, loves science fiction and thinks like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. Like we're finally using robots in real life. Let's like watching a sci-fi movie, but we're living it. But my other problem is like how much problems are we going to have with these things? Like we can barely talk to Siri or Cortana or, you know, we've been having trouble with like AIs before. So
most of my interaction with Siri, honestly, is generally cussing at her because she sent something very weird to the people I'm trying to text to.
Or, you know, like I'm trying to look something up and I don't have, you know, the time to just type it out in my phone and just getting the Google searches and stuff like that wrong. So I'm imagining it's going to be like in the movie Elysium.
Oh, no.
Where he's got his, what is it? Parole officer robot.
Yes.
And he's like sitting there screaming at his parole officer robot because his parole officer robot has no idea what he's trying to tell him.
Your stress levels are elevated. Would you like a pill? Now, according to this, they'll be able to tell Pepper robots if they have an appointment with a certain doctor or a certain time. The robots will give them direction. I can see people doing more with it, but it just... The other issue is AI doesn't really pick up on the inflection in people's voices or doesn't understand non-spelling of things. Like, for example, Flix. Some people spell it F-L-I-X versus F-L-I-C-K-S or something like that if I'm getting the spelling wrong. They won't know the difference.
Right.
And so somebody's last name, which is office standard, that you're gonna something's not going to go right there.
Right.
I don't know how much I like – I mean, I totally agree with you. I think it's like, awesome. The little kid in me is going, this is cool. But on the other hand, it didn't work out in iRobot.
No.
And Hal killed all of his companions realistically. Well,
I mean, and it sounds like they're not like intelligent. Like they're not sentient.
I hope not.
But I mean like that there's that very real fear that I think humanity has of robots. If you really want to check out, like, I know it's a little bit of a tangent, but if you want to really check out some like cool ideas on robots and how to handle robots in the future and how to like really make sure that humanity is not at risk, is the book iRobot, not the movie.
Yeah, Isaac Asimov.
Yes,
he came up with, if I remember, the third law, three laws of robotics, and a bunch of other things. You're right, tangent. But if you're really interested in the books, he's one of the sci-fi authors everybody really recommends you take a look at.
Right. Well, and like he kind of – with some of his rules of robotics and things, like people have taken some of his theories to heart and like kind of used those as guidelines for like future technology.
And this is additional sidebar to this is – Stories and sci-fi and movies drive technology. If you don't believe me, look at the 1960 version of Star Trek and look what we have now. Believe it or not, some of the fans of the 60s TV show made some of the technology we have today. So it really does drive innovation, is what people's imagination. And we're going to switch off to another robot topic. Is Amazon acquired a company called Kiva or Kiva for $775 million in 2012. What it is, it's a robotics company that's going to be using robotic forklifts and other technology in their warehouse. Basically, what we're going to do is they're going to start reducing some staff people in order to make deliveries faster. What it says, it's the deal was expected to make inventory management more efficient. Basically, everything is digitized, everything's binned in, robots can get it faster, there's no lunch breaks. The caveat is there are less people, but there's always going to be people because somebody has to fix these things.
Right.
They say the click-to-ship cycle used to be around 60 to 75 minutes. More or less what that is you click it to buy it, it'll take 60 to 75 minutes for them to process it and ship it out. Now, they say the robots will do it and handle it in around 15 minutes. This is nothing new. Amazon is just another people or another company that does it. I've heard a lot of other shipping companies do it. UPS does a version of this. A lot of warehouses do this because it cuts their manpower in half.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Amazon is one of those companies that tries to really be as innovative as possible. So if there's a new technology that's out there, they're going to try to capitalize on it in some way, shape, or form.
And that's one of the reasons why they're still around. Now, Amazon is technically a Web 1.0 company. Basically, that means that was the first giant tech bubble back in the 90s. During the Clinton administration, that's when the first major tech bubble happened. That's when a lot of civilians got access to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact they were able to stay innovative was the fact that all the profits they earned, they dumped back in their company. And this is how they did it. According to the article, Kiva robots are dispatched to the rest of the 110 warehouse. The tech giant could save almost $2.5 billion, according to Deutsche Bank. However, since it takes roughly 15 to 20 million to install the robots in each warehouse, the one-time savings expected to be closer to 800 million. Basically, what it is, they're going to slowly roll it out over a period of time, which makes sense. They're probably going to do it a little bit in one quarter, a little bit another quarter, just to help. You know, all this is a write-off because it's business expenses. It's going to improve everything, but it's a long-run game.
And I know, like, one of the first thoughts you're going to have is, oh, man, that's going to start taking people's jobs. But Amazon is still hiring, and they hire a lot of people. I get emails from Amazon telling me, oh, we want to hire you, like, all the time.
And there is Amazon fulfillment centers are all over the place. I know there's one in Sacramento, California.
Yes.
And they really are. They hire a lot of people because Amazon really is a people company. Part of it is marketing because robots aren't going to buy your stuff. And so people are going to stop buying stuff from Amazon when they say, hey, they stopped hiring people.
Right.
And so we're going to go to a break. I know if you guys have any comments, questions, tell us why we're wrong, tell us why we're right. I want you to go to the Facebook page, which is GSMC Technology Podcasts. Find this episode on the podcast and comment below it. Tell us what you think. Do you think we're wrong, right? We want to know your opinion.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Now, what I'm about to mention is something I'm excited about, but not. And I'll tell you the reasons. Is there's a company, and this is a Mashable article, it has made a sleek leather wallet with a hidden iPhone charger. Now, the actual battery part of it is in the spine of the wallet, And if you don't know anything about batteries or cell phone batteries, most cell phone batteries are measured in milliamp hours. And most of them is 1,800 to roughly 3,800 milliamp hours. Now, they do vary, some less, some more. And pretty much the higher the milliamp hour your battery has, the more time you can charge your battery without having to recharge it. I've personally got a portable battery that's 6,600 milliamp hours. For my cell phone, that's roughly three charges.
Right.
The major problem I have with this is this is lithium ion. And if you guys haven't followed the news, and I'll say the last decade, they have been known to catch on fire.
Yeah, if you actually get anything shipped to you with a lithium ion battery, there has to be a warning on the box saying this has a lithium ion battery in it and it could explode.
And it's true. I've worked in retail in the past, and you know, in retail, especially if you're doing one of the electronic retailers, like the laptop, like the pallets have it on there. Mm-hmm. It's like warning, may explode. I keep one in my pocket. I've got one of these, I forgot what you call it, like cargo pants, and I always keep my charger in when I'm wearing those pants. I always keep my charger on there. I don't like the idea of sitting on a battery charger.
Yeah, that's something that I kind of worry about too, is because, I mean, this wallet is probably not cheap, and sitting on it could break it, and then you're, you know, out some money and you just have a really fancy, useless wallet.
Now here, so on the article, the bigger version of the wallet is $149.95. The slimmer version is $119.95. You're paying for the charger. Now, according to the article, they said, oh, it's a nice leather. There's like six card slots, but for $150, you're paying for a custom-designed battery.
And how big and thick is this? That's another thing, because I like my wallet to be fairly slim. I don't like to really think about it being there, and I like it to be in my pants pocket all day, so I'm sitting on it all the time. Now, like how big is this? Like,
so I was, according to the picture I saw, I'd say roughly maybe, I don't know, like maybe a quarter, a little bit smaller than a quarter. It's pretty big, the pictures I saw.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like something I'd want in my, it sounds like a...
And it's the craziest thing, it's round, it's not flat.
Huh.
So, because I was thinking, okay, if you do it right, you could easily make something that was maybe a quarter of an inch, you know, something that you'd sit on, but it's right. Round, and that sounds like the world's most uncomfortable wallet. You're going to have to carry it in a fanny pack or a pocket or like the front pocket.
Right. There's no way that's going to catch on.
And it's definitely a guy's wallet, you know, which is weird because you think for at least for like a woman usually carries a wallet in their purse. That right there sounds perfect.
Right. Well, and with women's wallets, they're usually bigger and more of a rectangle, and you can actually probably get away with something a little bit more bulky and a little bit more round, whereas a man's wallet, well, no.
And yeah, I really am not a fan of the idea of sitting on a battery. I mean, on the other hand, I've always got a battery in my pocket. I mean, I carry my cell phone constantly. You know, I'm carrying something that not only could explode, but could slightly irradiate you. So
that's true.
You have to pick your poison, but it's not something I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to switch a little bit to something that I'm kind of a big fan of. I'm a huge fan of a home theater, not as much as I used to be. Now, this is something that is a little gimmicky, a little cool, kind of like 3D televisions, gimmicky, cool. You'll see. What it is, it's pretty much like four coasters you put your couch on, and it adds movement up, down, side to side, shake, rattle, and roll. So if you have an old couch, this probably isn't the idea for you, especially if it's an antique. So according to the article, you add feet to the bottom of your chair or couch. The device can physically move your entire seat body to better reflect the action play on screen. So pretty much what the article says is it kind of plays it by ear, probably using some sort of mathematical formula to figure it out. It listens to it and say if there's a big explosion, it rattles your couch. This isn't a new idea. They used to have something called a tactile transducer. Basically, it was a giant subwoofer you'd mount to your couch or underneath your floor, and it would vibrate it. This is something, it's a newer idea, and it's still not as cheap. The kit costs between $504 and
$904. Jeez.
So if you have, I don't know, tax refund, excess money.
Yeah, if you're just throwing away that, sure.
It's and this is a big gimmick, but I'll be honest. This is a gimmick that I think is cool. The question I'm really having is, how long does it last for, and what's the weight limitation? Because couches aren't light, and say if your couch weighs like 200 pounds, you know, say it's one that has that built-in bed into it, and then you add say three people that are, you know, 200 pounds. That's like 600 pounds plus 200 pounds. It's 1,000 pounds on it. So how well is it built?
That's a really good question. And also, like you mentioned, this isn't a new idea. They have movie theaters throughout the country that are doing that sort of thing where there's stuff built into the chair to kind of move you around while you're moving. The only problem with that is like
it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
And an expensive gimmick, by the way, because there's a local theater near me, not near him, but near me, and it's like a $25 ticket.
Right. Well, and like, how does this work? Does it just go off of like the waveforms from audio files, or
The article wasn't really specific.
I mean, are filmmakers going to have to program this stuff into their DVDs and Blu-rays?
So, according to this, they literally. By the way, I'm actually quoting from it. It says it has Shazam-like features that can read content and decide which motions are appropriate on the fly.
Okay.
So I'm assuming what it is, it's basically pre-programmed responses,
gotcha.
And it's listening to certain things. Like an explosion, they've programmed, okay, you want a rumble. A race car, it knows a little bit of rumble. That's my guess, is it's pre-programmed responses and algorithm, because otherwise I'm not quite sure how you would do it.
Now, and we say this is a fad, but like with video games, I remember when the Rumble controllers and Rumble packs were first first coming out for the Nintendo 64, and I remember when PlayStation 1 did their DualShock controller, and it had the vibration in it. And we all kind of thought, like, oh, that's a fad when it first started, but now I can't even imagine playing video games without that feature.
I'm thinking with video games, though, in my opinion, it's a different experience.
Like that's very true.
The rumble, because video games are very
interactive.
You're in it. You're involved in it. And so that vibration will tell you, like, for example, say if you're sniping, that'll tell you, okay, your guy's holding his breath and he's running out of breath. Or if you're racing, it's like, okay, you're against a curb. This is trying to make an interactive experience out of something you're watching.
Well, but I mean, like, if you were to include this into video games as well, it might add another element to it. I don't know.
If this company's listening to this podcast, if you're willing to send this thing to GSMC's technology podcast, I would be willing to test it out.
I would too.
Because for me personally, and this is just me, this is John talking, I don't know if I would make the investment into this without having some sort of experience with it.
Right. I'm not willing to drop $500 to $1,000. I mean, that's a whole console right there.
Yeah. Or for me, building another computer that I want.
Right.
I just don't see it. Now, we're coming up towards the end of our show, but I do want to make sure that you do something for me. I want you to go to GSMC. It's GSMCpodcast.com, and we have a ton of other great shows. We have football, MMA, movies, and televisions. I want you to go to the website, look at the other ones we have, but before you do that, I want you to go to the Technology Podcast, and I want you to subscribe on iTunes and other things, because I know you're going to love this show once you listen to it, especially with my great new co-host we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is coming up, we're going to be talking about the new Xbox coming up on our next episode. Now, I talked about the rumors. E3, which is the Electronic Entertainment Expo, just happened, and Microsoft released some more great information about their next consoles, and I know you're going to know it, because I know people listening to this are a big fan of video games, because, hey, your host is, and, well, your other host is.
I am as well.
So that's GSMC, technologypodcast.com, and I want to make sure you also go to the GSMC Technology Podcast Facebook page, find this episode, and comment. What did you like? What did you hate? How are we wrong? And if you have any articles that you think we should talk about, I want you to go there, post those articles so we can talk about it. I want to thank you for listening. Today we talked about iOS 10, we talked about robots in a hospital and Amazon warehouse. We also talked about what we think is a gimmick, being tactile couch things. I'm not quite sure how you describe it.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I want to thank you for, as always, for listening to the show.